Well, how many of you just get, absolutely just stirred up when you hear a good message, a really good message about the coming kingdom of God? Does that stir you up? Makes you almost want to get up and yell, "Amen!" Doesn't it? You can feel just every fiber in your body just tingling. Well, a little over a year ago, I heard just such a message. And some of you did too. Like J.R. and Joanne were there. I think Dick and Dorothy Jean were there. It was done by Pastor Jim Rich. He's a pastor at one of our churches in Virginia. You know, his message was on the resurrection. And you could just feel the power in his voice. You couldn't help but just get excited all over. You just want to yell, "Praise God for men like that." You know, I was sitting there listening to his voice. I thought to myself, there is a man that is on fire for God. Absolutely on fire. You know, and I started thinking, why can't more of our pastors have that burning fire within them? Why? Are they afraid? I don't know. I don't know what they're afraid of. But sometimes we need to shout it out from the rooftops, from the streets, anywhere where people will hear our voice. This message of the coming kingdom of God is that important. We can't keep it to ourselves. That's how important it is. You know, as I thought more and more about this, it brought me to one of my favorite characters in the Bible, John the Baptist. Oh, now there's a man's man there. Big, burly man. Wild hair. Camel's fur for clothing. Ate honey and wild locusts. Huh. Boy, you know what? There was more than meets the eye. John the Baptist. Much more. Turn with me this morning to John chapter 5. Starting in verse 33. It says, "You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. But the testimony which I receive is not from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice while in his light." See, John the Baptist wasn't just this wild man. If he showed up here this morning, whoa! He wasn't just this crazy wild man. He was a man sent by God. Turn back a few pages to John chapter 1. And we're going to go through this story of John the Baptist a little bit this morning. John chapter 1 and verse 6. "There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. So our God, who cannot make a mistake, can he? No. Sent this man named John. And he sent him for a specific purpose. Did you know that God has a specific purpose for each and every one of you sitting out there? Did you ever really think about that? And see just how blessed we are? That the God of this universe sent you here. You didn't come here this morning by your own choice. You were sent here by God. He chose you. He said, I want you. And you came. See, John the Baptist, he wasn't an educated man. He didn't have a PhD behind his name, or maybe a DD. His calling was much, much higher than that. His calling was from God. His credentials were from God. And a man with the call of God doesn't have to be timid. Not at all. He doesn't have to be soft in proclaiming the Word of God. You know, sometimes you hear preachers lift their voice up, don't you? Lift it up like a trumpet. Why is that? The answer is back in Isaiah. Isaiah 58. In verse 1, it says, cry loudly, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgressions, and to the house of Jacob their sins. See, John the Baptist had a message. He had a message that was given to him by God himself. And he preached it with such passion and with such power that Jesus Christ himself called John a burning and shining light. Who here would like to be called that by Christ? To be called a burning and shining light. Wouldn't you like to hear those words? I know I sure would. But you know, sometimes we feel all alone, don't we? Did John the Baptist have an established church that he walked into? No, this wild man was preaching ideas that these people, what in the world is he doing? Baptizing? What is that? You know, Zechariah, when he was talking about Joshua, he called him a brand plucked out of the fire. John the Baptist was also a brand plucked out of the fire. Because you see, he was burning for the Lord from deep inside of him. But if you're a brand that's plucked out of that fire, you're going to burn for the Lord too. You're going to burn for him. Even though sometimes it may seem like the fire all around you has gone out or just barely flickering. Keep burning. Don't let that fire go out. even though you may seem all alone sometimes. Don't let that fire go out. Sometimes you may be witnessing to people all alone. But if you've got the fire of God on you, you'll do it. I was talking to a pastor in Indiana. He was telling me there was a 77-year-old man, 77 years old, that goes out every single day witnessing to people, putting tracts on people's door, talking to people, whether it was raining, snowing, sleeting, whatever. How's he do that at 77 years old? You see, he's got a fire burning within him. He has to do it. He's got that fire. And that's what we need today. Men and women with that bonfire burning in them for the Lord. We need men and women who will not quit. No matter what. No matter what is thrown in front of you. Did you see? John the Baptist? He was a witness. He was a witness of the light. He was a witness of the light of the world. Back over in John chapter 1. In verse 7. It says, he came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. You see, John the Baptist was a burning and shining light because he pointed people to Christ. Now, is it our light shining that points people to Christ? No. We should reflect the light of Jesus Christ and point people directly to Him. Just like the moon gives no light of its own, does it? Reflects the sun's light. That's how we should be. When people see us, they should be seeing Jesus Christ. That's how we should be each and every day. You see, John, he was a burning light because he got close. He got real close to the light. Think about that. What happens when you have a campfire? The closer you get to that fire, the hotter you get. Let's turn over to John chapter 5. Starting in verse 32. It said, there is another who testifies of me, and I know that the testimony which he gives me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. You see, John testified to the truth. What happens when you go to court and you have to testify? You have to tell it like it is, don't you? That's what you have to do. Well, you see, John was not afraid to tell it like it is. And we need more people with that fire that are not afraid to tell it like it is. But how can we get on fire? How can we build that fire up and be on fire for God? Well, we have to draw close to God. What happened when Moses drew close to God? The scripture said his face shined with God's radiance. We have to draw close. We have to draw close to His Word. We need to study it. We need to memorize it. We need to know it. We need to live it. That's how we can draw close. Because you see, when you draw close to the Word of God, Scriptures say that your heart will burn within you. And you'll get that hunger. And you'll want more. And you'll want more. Let's go over to Luke 24. Verse 32. They said one to another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road? While He was explaining the Scriptures to us?" So the Scriptures were being explained and their hearts were burning within them. That hunger that they couldn't explain. They wanted more. When we draw near to God through His Word, our hearts will burn for God. And our lights will point people to Jesus Christ. You know, I can't think of anything that I would rather be doing than preaching that glorious gospel, the kingdom of God. I can't think of anything I would rather do. And I pray that that fire in my heart will never go out. And I pray that I can lift my voice up like that trumpet. You know, you've heard that burning the candle at both ends. I hope I can do that. You know, you've also heard about being burned out too, haven't you? I pray that I never am burned out. Because you see, no one has to be burned out and sitting on the sidelines. No one. We need to ask God to stir those coals within us. Build it up to a raging fire. You know, and later in John chapter 1, it said that John was a voice crying in the wilderness. You see, John had a voice. It was set on fire by God. He had a tongue that was anointed by God. In Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 5, it says, "Then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away from you, and your sin is forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I. Send me. See, every single preacher should have their lips touched with a burning coal from God's throne. And not just every preacher. Every Sunday school teacher. Every elder. Every deacon. All should have their lips touched by that burning coal to set them on fire for God. You know, when I get up here to preach, I ask God to touch my lips so that He will use my voice for His will. How about on Mount Sinai? What happened when God was present on Mount Sinai? The thunder roared. The lightning crashed. The power of God was there. And that's what we need in our churches. Pastors, with that fire. Fire of God in their hearts. You see, John the Baptist, he preached the truth with fire. John chapter 5, verse 33 that we read earlier, says, When you have the fire... Because when you have the fire of God, you're going to preach the whole truth. You're going to shout it out. John chapter 5, verse 33. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Now, what is the truth? That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Matthew 16:16. Jesus asked Peter, Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the message. And it has to be clear. There is no other Savior. The truth that the world was created by God. You know, you hear a lot about the Big Bang Theory, don't you? Well, I'll say something different. I'll say it's the Big Bang fact. What? What? What are you talking about, Pastor Dave? Well, I believe that God said, Let the earth be created, and bang, it happened. Because you see, a bang, it gets people's attention, doesn't it? Bang really gets people's attention. The truth that Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, we can't set dates. The Bible says, Matthew 24, no man knows the hour or the day. Not even Jesus knows when he's coming. But only God. But how is Christ coming? According to Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 9, tells us he's coming in the clouds. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 says, and after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way that you have watched him go into heaven. So if you hear that Jesus showed up in some church in Dayton or some church in Columbus, don't go there. He's not there. He's coming in the clouds. Somebody tells you Jesus is coming next Tuesday, don't believe them. We don't know when he's coming. We have to prepare ourselves every single day as if he was coming. And the truth that when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, he will raise the dead. And we will be changed. We read this morning in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. And that last trumpet sounds. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, those who have died, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remaining until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. And at that time, the kingdom of God will be established on this earth. Praise God. You know, it's a responsibility of each and every one of us to get on fire for God. Ask God what you can do for him. always be ready to answer his calling. Always. But you know what? For some things, you don't need a call. There's people all around us that have lost hope. Are in total despair. Reach out to them. Let the light of Christ shine from you to point them to Him. But you know what? Why do you need a call? You have a command. Turn with me to Luke. Chapter 14, verse 23. And the master said to the slave, "Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled." That's our command. How many here want to feel that power of God burning within them? If your flame is just flickering, stoke that ember to a roaring fire once again. Because I guarantee you, one day soon, when we look to the sky, when we see the clouds roll back like a scroll, when we see our Lord and Savior coming